Colorado has tried to pass paid family leave a few times. And in that bill, which I understand will most likely be introduced again, employees would pay for the program through payroll deductions. So does Colorado have some models to look at?
There are a handful of states that have already passed programs like this, and we have states like California that's had a plan in place for more than a decade now, New Jersey, now New York, et cetera, that have had paid leave programs available to workers. There have been millions of people who've been able to take advantage, and they've seen incredibly positive outcomes from it. Businesses have seen positive impacts or neutral impacts, but we've also can document now that workers who take leave through the California plan have higher incomes, you know, months or years after they've taken that leave than the workers who did not have paid leave available. And so they're more likely to return to work, and they're more likely to return at their income and be able to get the promotions and raises that they would have been on track for. And the folks who didn't have paid leave are really set back in terms of their long-term, you know, financial security. And, you know, Colorado, if we were to pass the program in our state, we wouldn't be, you know, shooting blind here. We have other states to look to and other evidence to draw from to show that it's really not costing the state very much. It's really not costing workers and employers very much. And there's very low levels of fraud and abuse.
You say that an inclusive policy would be the best for paid family leave. Can you tell me what that looks like?
Certainly, we know that we need to have some kind of a benefit available to parents of newborns or newly adopted children. And there's really strong evidence that shows that parental engagement is really critical in those first weeks and months of a baby's life or of a life of a child in an adoptive family. But we also have growing evidence that when leave isn't available to workers with other types of caregiving responsibilities, they end up often having to resort to reducing their work hours or actually leaving their jobs in order to manage that caregiving. And then this, in turn, has really significant consequences for those workers' long-term financial security. And, you know, what we find time and time again is that the bottom line here is that when you're faced with a choice between losing a family member or losing a job, those are both dire choices, but no one's going to choose to lose their loved one, right? And so the challenge that we have is how do we find a way to make sure that the worker in this situation can stay afloat financially while they're doing that incredibly important work of helping a child or a spouse or a parent, you know, go through treatment or manage that health concern.
Other states have seen some success, but it still hasn't been implemented nationally. And there's so many things in the news right now, trade, immigration, stagnant wages. How would you respond to someone who says paid family leave just isn't important enough right now?
So I completely understand the sentiment, but we also know that working families are unbelievably stretched for a lot of the reasons you mentioned. More and more families are living paycheck to paycheck. They're struggling with childcare costs, rising housing costs, student loan debt, et cetera, et cetera. And meanwhile, we have new studies coming out showing that wages have just remained stagnant over the last several decades. And so these are incredibly big issues that need to be addressed. But in the meantime, initiatives like paid family leave can help families who have that extra challenge of a health crisis or a new child or whatever, help them maintain their income while they take a little time off of work. And then the other thing is that I think it's a chance to bring people together. And I truly believe that right now policymakers and voters are looking for those opportunities to be able to bridge the divide and, you know, work together on something that can have a bipartisan solution.
Tell me what's going on at the national level.
There was a hearing in the Senate a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, I expect that there will continue to be some conversations both in the House and Senate about what a compromise option might look like that could potentially have some bipartisan appeal.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you for having me.